It's easy in the midst of a situation to give an opinion on what should have been done, what could have been done, what would have been done. It's why we have that saying, hindsight is 20/20. But we have Joe Biden's words himself this week that says that on Wednesday of last week, he gave the order for the balloon to be shot down. So, why was the balloon not shot down? He is, after all, the commander-in-chief. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, Bold Americans, to another week of episodes here on America Emboldened. I am your host, Greg Bolden. So glad to be with you for another week of episodes here on the America Out Loud Network. As always, check out www.americaoutloud.com. You can find hundreds of articles per week, as well as all the radio shows on the America Out Loud Radio right there on our app. You can get in the App Store and Android Store, and you can just find great content across the board by so many people, including myself. Hey, you know, I think I bring pretty good content each day. Monday through Friday, I'm nice and consistent for you. Today, I'm going to be talking about President Joe Biden. Now, many people were saying, how come the United States is not blowing this balloon out of the sky? So unless you've been living under a rock by now, I would hope that you know that there was a Chinese spy balloon that came across the United States territories and the United States for almost 7 days. And we waited until it can trek all the way across this fine country from sea to shining sea before we shot it down in a blaze of glory. It wasn't actually a blaze of glory. It was just a loud thundering boom followed by a splash. And apparently we are sending people to go find out what exactly this was. Now, why did we know about the balloon? Now, I believe if the government knew about this balloon all the way back on Saturday, January 28th, and it just so happens that on Wednesday, February 1st, somebody in Billings, Montana spots it with the naked eye, had that person not spotted it, I don't believe that you or I would be talking about this today. I believe that would have went back over top the Atlantic Ocean and just continued trekking onward back in the China. Now, can a balloon trek that far? Absolutely. These things can stay afloat for about 1 to 2 weeks. And I don't believe that this was any regular type of aircraft. This was a smart aircraft. It was able to maneuver and to take its own flight path based upon very sophisticated AI. It had a number of solar panels on it in order to conduct whatever surveillance was going on, likely antennas in order to communicate back up the satellites, which it would have had a clear view of at that altitude, as well as take photos of the ground or listen into conversations on the ground. The possibilities are endless, as well as these are the type balloons that can basically stall out over areas and take multiple images, unlike satellites, which are basically in constant rotational movement as they fall back to the Earth, but not coming back into the Earth because of the gravitational lock that we place satellites in. Anyway, let's get straight to it. Let's get to what Joe Biden told the reporters when he got off the plane this weekend. This is a shocking omission. So before we get into the timeline or anything else, we got to get into the timeline. So first and foremost, January 28th, our military knows that this balloon is coming over the Aleutian Islands into Alaska. We know this at this point in time. All right, January 28th, that's Saturday. Listen to what Joe Biden says about when he gave orders about the balloon. This is, I believe, very telling. Here it is.
When I was briefed on the balloon, I ordered the Pentagon to shoot it down on Wednesday as soon as possible. They decided, without doing damage to anyone on the ground, they decided that the best time to do that was as it got over water outside within 12-mile limit. They successfully took it down, and I want to compliment our aviators who did it, and we'll have more to report on this a little later.
Wait a minute. So who gives the orders in the United States? Last time I checked, it's the Commander-in-Chief. If the Commander-in-Chief says to his Air Force, the military, then I would like it shot down, then I'm under the impression it gets shot down. Sure, they can advise, but that's not what Joe Biden says here. They ask him to clarify. Maybe the Pentagon didn't realize what he wanted. Maybe they thought that he wanted to be advised on this issue. And Joe Biden makes it very clear he wanted it shot down immediately. So here's the rest of that interaction with the reporter.
President, what did you say about China? What's your message to China?
You were saying the recommendation was from your national security.
I told them to shoot it down.
On Wednesday. But the recommendation.
They said to me, let's wait till the safest place to do it.
What does this mean for China, relations with China?
So he says, I told them to shoot it down. I'm just wondering, at what point, you know, is there, okay, we're going to wait and see and we're going to make sure everything's safe versus, you know, just not listening to the commander in chief. Now, under the Constitution, the president has the authority to make an order to which the military is supposed to follow through with. The only time that is something that is not followed through on is when the military is given an unlawful order. So I have to ask, who is running the country? Is Joe Biden in charge? Is he the commander in chief, or is one of the generals? And I know some people may say, well, the loss of life that was possible with this, had they shot it down, could have had a debris field of about 20 square miles. That was what the estimate was. Have you traveled across the country? You mean to tell me that there wasn't 20 square miles over top Montana when we knew that that thing was coming over Alaska, when we knew that it was coming into the United States from the Canadian border? There wasn't 20 square miles of farmland where that could be shot down, since Joe Biden said, I told them to do so. It sounds to me more like a defiance. Now, there's a lot of reasons why, before everybody gets all upset or I get you upset about this, there's a lot of common sense reasons why maybe they wouldn't have done this. Maybe you don't want to show your enemy what you're capable of. Maybe you were giving them the thought process of, oh, look, we're getting away with this, when really they weren't getting away with it. Then again, maybe the enemy really was getting away with it. That could be the possibility. So let's talk about this timeline. So on Saturday, January 28th, the balloon starts a controlled drift, meaning it's got AI on board. And the way these balloons work, I did some research on it. They can increase altitude to go with winds in a certain direction. They can decrease altitude to lower the winds, lower the speed, stall out over areas, as well as change directions. The payload that's on board with those solar panels, if those can be rotated, they can actually influence which direction the balloon is going. So this is not just a weather balloon that's atmospheric going up into the stratosphere in order to collect data about the weather. This is a very smart device, a next generation militarized balloon. This is not the balloons of World War II. This is a balloon of very high-tech surveillance. So much so that the Pentagon in some of the reports talks about how these devices can be used to listen in the conversations on the ground. Not just conversations, through directed type of energy, but they could pick up on cell towers that they're near. They can get information that way. They can go through a ton of different systems, which satellites, because of their distance, do not have the ability to do. This answers the question why people said, why wouldn't China just launch a satellite to take images that they want to take? Why would they use a balloon? While a balloon can stay in one area for longer periods of time, it's normally highly inconspicuous, right? Because it travels at such a large height. It's pretty amazing that somebody spotted this thing to begin with. So Saturday, January 28th, it comes over. At the time that it comes over, The military felt that it was just another one of China's what they call light probes that would normally go around the edges of America's defensive borders, which tells us that China has been doing this for some time, likely under multiple presidents. This is not something that just started as far as these balloons, but this was one of the ones we now know about that had surveillance on it. 2 days go by. On January 30th, by the end of the day, it had gone over the American territory and Alaska and got over top of Canada. And officials said at that point, that's when they noticed that solar panels were propelling the ship. That's the best way I could describe this. It's literally a ship. And it had cameras and surveillance equipment on board. All right, so the solar panels, as I was suggesting, were tilting, were turning to help navigate where it should be. Do you guys know what is in the Aleutian Islands in Alaska? Do you know how many military bases we have up there? Do you know what type of weapons are up there? I'm not trying to give away any state secrets because I'm not privy to anything that somebody hasn't already shared with me. But I know for a fact we have a number of military bases. I know for a fact we've had a number of people deployed there over the past 12 months, especially with what happened in Ukraine. We started sending more and more of our soldiers up to Alaska. Many of my military families had reported that to me. So I don't think that this is just like, oh, look at this. It's tracking over top the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. No, this was surveillance to find out our military operations and what we're up to on a level that they could not get with a space satellite. This is much more of a This is much more of a in-depth look is the word I'm looking for. So that was Monday. It then goes into Canada, our neighbors to the north. What's Canada do about all this? Well, Canada doesn't say anything until it's eventually over top Montana. Once it's over Montana, Canada releases a statement saying, oh yeah, we've been aware of it. It doesn't pose any threat to any life. It's just going to do its thing. Don't worry about it. It's not a danger to anybody. Now, how did Canada know that? And why would Canada allow this through their airspace directly to the United States? Well, in the second half of the show, we'll talk about what happened in 2020 with China having soldiers training in Canada. So maybe we should know a little bit about what's going on there. But we'll get to that in the second half of the show. We're not quite there yet. Let's continue on. So we want to get into this timeline. We get from Saturday into Monday, 2 days go by. Then Tuesday, the balloon re-entered the United States over Idaho. Now, they say that this was to the surprise of officials at the Northern Command as well as the Pentagon. What the hell? How is this a surprise? How is it that General Milley, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is surprised by this? If something's going over the Aleutian Islands, over top of Alaska, over top your military installations, how come that is not one of the things that we're tracking the entire time? How come that's not something that we're talking to Canada saying, hey, what's going on? How come we didn't shoot it out of the air once it went over these things and we realized exactly what it was? We had opportunity at that point in time. So it enters into Idaho, and this should really just scare everybody. I don't believe it, but they claim to say, oh, this is really a shock that this showed up. Now, the president asked on Tuesday, January 31st, and you can read a lot of this on the New York Times. They put an article together of the timeline of the information they were able to get. So apparently the president asked for military options, including he wanted the airship destroyed immediately. And he ordered that no activities or sensitive communications would be conducted in the path of the balloon. Now, that's where I believe the Pentagon saying, don't worry, we made sure that there was nothing that was going to be going up to the balloon. So I want to ask, if you live in Idaho, you live in Montana, you live in Kentucky, you live in Missouri, any of these states were traversed over, did you lose cell phone service? Did they cut off all of the cell phone towers that would relay information, sensitive information of citizens across this country? I don't think you did, right? So this concept of, oh, we were able to turn off the sensitive unencrypted communications. Come on, give me a break. Now, what they should have done at that point in time that I was thinking is, How come you don't just bring it to some type of controlled grounding? Is there a way to do so? And if not, well, I would say our military needs to start working on that. Anyway, let's continue on. So it goes through Idaho on January 31st. So we now know it's there. Wednesday, February 1st, the balloon makes its way above Billings, Montana, which is where the 341st Missile Wing at Mostrom Air Force Base is located. Now, this is one of three in Montana that maintain intercontinental ballistic missiles. Tell me that is an accident. Tell me that a controlled ship is an accident flying over our ICBM fields. Tell me that's not something that is an act of war that should immediately be taken care of. But no, it doesn't. Instead, the Pentagon called the balloon a blatant and poorly concealed effort at spying. Citizens start seeing the balloon, sending photos in, where that's where we started seeing the balloon for the first time. Then we finally get a high definition, and we see that it had a payload underneath that could be the size of three buses. Now, this is what we got to talk about on the opposite side of this break. What could have been on the payload? That's what I immediately started talking about on Twitter. On Wednesday, when this came across my desk, I immediately started talking about EMPs, immediately talked about how you could weaponize this balloon, and because they can be taken into a very specific area. The Pentagon failed us. The president failed us. Our state's defenses failed us. Our neighbors to the north, the Canadians, failed us. This was an epic failure of administration, military, and so many other things the entire way. We're going to talk about that on the opposite side of the break. Everybody, you're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. If you get an opportunity, I've been using this product you hear me talk about on the show all the time. It's called the Genesis HOCL Fogger. Now, this is a fogger that helps rid the room of bacteria, viruses, even mold. Helps make the air that you breathe healthy so that way you don't get COVID, you don't get all the other things that are going around. It's great for the workplace as well. If you work at a church, work at a school building, what an awesome product to have. By listening to my show, you can go to www.genesisfogger.com/outloud and you can get a discount on your very own. All right, we'll be right back after the break, everybody.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We are fighting the ultimate fight between good and evil. AmericaOutLoud.com replaces groupthink with innovative think. Well, it was Walt Whitman, the poet, who said, "Keep your face always toward the sunshine, and shadows will fall behind you." America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. Second half of the show, we're getting into what dangers the United States could have been in because of inaction by our military, inaction by our supposed partners to the north in Canada, and the danger that is now very real that Americans must come to face, that we've seen that our government is slow to act, and China's seen it. This is making us the laughing stock of the world in many ways. As I said earlier, if I didn't, I should have made a point, in Idaho, in Alaska, in Montana, they said that they needed possibly a debris field of 20 square miles. You can't tell me there's not 20 square miles where they could have shot this down without a lot of people, that they couldn't have just said to individuals, we're evacuating the area, we're shooting this thing down. That's a joke to think that that didn't happen. What I did find out, though, from researching these balloons, they sometimes have anti-missile technology. They're able to evade us shooting them down. This is a new era of war. That's exactly what this is. For years, people have been talking about EMPs, electromagnetic pulses. Now, I talk about EMPs from a different standpoint. I'd normally talk about if the sun were to send out a solar kill shot our way and take off our electric grid, which I do believe is going to happen, possibly in our lifetime. I think that, you know, we're dangerously close with technology to over technological resources and world that we just can't support the electric grid should one of those things hit. But because we know that that is a possibility, our enemies and ourselves, we've figured out this way that we could put an electromagnetic pulse. They could take a nuclear explosion up in the upper atmosphere, and you could shut off electricity permanently to almost the entire United States at the right altitude. At the altitude that that balloon was flying, had it had an EMP attached, they could have knocked out electricity for good in almost four states. It would have gone across about a four-state radius. Had they wanted to increase the altitude before letting it up, it possibly could have covered from the eastern part of California to the Appalachian Mountains. That is the widespread. Now, if one of those electromagnetic pulses is allowed to go off, that will be the end of the United States. I know what you're thinking. Well, no, Greg, you're really, that's too much. It can't be the end of the United States. We'll continue on. Imagine society without any electricity. The food supply is the first thing to go. No running water. Sewers start backing up. It becomes unhealthy, unsanitary. It's going to take anywhere from 2 to 3 years to start rebuilding the electrical systems, which you will need the rest of the world in order to help out on that. Now, yes, that might sound very alarming, but that is factual. Millions, tens of millions, if not 100 million people will die in the immediate aftermath of an EMP. And when I say immediate aftermath, I don't mean over the next, 5 minutes. What I mean is over the next 5 to 6 months, you would have a loss of life like you would not ever expect to see before. This is very important because we see that back on January 28th, this thing coming to the United States, and we don't know what type of payload it has on it. We can see that it is able to move itself. We lose track of it remarkably as it comes over top of Canada. We find it in Idaho and go, holy crap, I can't believe this thing came to Idaho. We then figure out that, yes, it's able to take photos. Yes, it's able to maneuver itself. Yes, it has a trajectory that is purposeful. Yes, it's over top our ICBMs, which it could have taken out our ICBMs with that type of pulse as well, depending on how far below ground they are. But it might have taken offline our ability to be able to have any type of response to a foreign threat. Joe Biden was correct when he ordered on Tuesday, February 1st, he tells reporters it was Wednesday, but according to the account from the Pentagon, when he told them on Tuesday, the damn thing should have been shot out of the sky. Period. You figure out how to get the people down below out of the way, and you shoot it down, and you figure out what's going on. Unless you're afraid that there's a bio weapon on board that could be sprayed in the skies, could land, and cause problems. Was that what they're afraid of? If that's the case, we have some really crazy things going on in our relationship between China and the United States. Now, on Thursday, February 2nd, the day after Billings, somehow this freaking thing got it got politicized. People are now like, well, the Republican lawmakers are all in fear. They're criticizing Mr. Biden. You know what? Shame on you, Democrats, for not criticizing Mr. Biden in this. Shame on you. Isn't it Congress that's supposed to come together in order to declare acts of war to figure out military action? I'm glad we have some leaders. I'm glad that not everybody just rolled on over. Now, because of Republican lawmakers demanding this, it caused Blinken to cancel his trip to China. And then we heard from Canada, okay, and I don't know why this is not in the report. I have a report out of Canada. There was a second balloon. Yes, I have that printed on Friday, February 3rd. Now, February 2nd, Thursday, the reports came out from the Pentagon that there was a second Chinese balloon traveling across Central America that was headed towards South America. These are not accidents. There is a very important reason why China is sending these things out. The Chinese foreign ministry stated that the machine was a civilian weather balloon that strayed far, very far off course and entered U.S. airspace by accident. That is on Friday, February 3rd. You should all be absolutely insulted by that explanation by the Chinese officials. The reason you should be insulted is because the Pentagon had already known at that point that this was not a weather balloon. Weather balloons are not that large. Weather balloons do not carry a payload that large. Weather balloons only carry up to 12 pounds. Okay? This thing was the size of three school buses. I don't even know how this thing is floating. I'm not making this up. I don't know how this thing's floating because I don't know if there's enough helium that is stable and secure to keep that afloat, or if this is some other type of airship weapon that's being used. That's just understanding weather balloons. I've had the opportunity to send GoPros up in weather balloons. I don't understand how you can get 12 solar panels, which, by the way, weigh about 40 pounds each. Okay, so if you got 12 solar panels, that's 480 pounds of weight that this balloon's got to get up into the sky. Just use some critical thinking here for just a brief moment before you say that's a weather balloon. So anyway, China lies to us, not surprised, that Friday. We continue to let it go over top our country. By Friday night, our government officials are telling us they're not going to update us where it's going to be, but it's going to be traversing for the next few days over top of the United States. And they're not going to tell us where it's at. If you want to find out, just look up. Just look up. That's horrible. When people are thinking about, hey, we want to know what you guys are doing about it, it's like, just forget about it, guys. Hey, just go watch a movie. The new Wakanda Forever is out. Go watch some Disney Plus. Get your messages from there and forget about this little weather balloon that's surveilling the ICBM sites, and we don't know what China's up to. Well, anyway, Saturday, February 4th, you know, 2 days ago, the FAA stopped all departures and arrivals in Wilmington, North Carolina, as well as Myrtle Beach out like 100 miles offshore. And they sent up an F-22 fighter jet, and they fired what's called a Sidewinder air-to-air missile. And that downed the balloon, which at that point in time was somewhere between 60,000 and 65,000 feet. And our military went to work to recover the payload in the Atlantic Ocean. Now, Joe Biden was very careful in what he said, that this was within the 12 miles or 15 miles, whatever it is, for still within our sovereign borders. And we had to wait until, you know, it was safe to do this so there was no loss of life. You know what? I'm appreciative we did this so there was no loss of life. What I'm not appreciative of is our entire country just looked foolish. Now, how about state rights? If something's flying over top my house, do I have the right to take something down? Well, according to law, the land that I own extends to infinity up above my borders of my home. So yes, I have rights to that space. Now there's other laws and stuff like, you know, you can't really just shoot down a drone that's flying over the airspace above because they have a right to the airspace through the FAA. That is the truth. But if there is an enemy balloon, an enemy device that's flying through the state, and our federal government won't take care of the situation, should the state government be able to take care of it? Should Montana have access to the weapons necessary, to the resources necessary to take down one of these balloons? Is there high-powered lasers that we could have deflated this thing with? What other options are out there? I'm just thinking out loud before you're like, what type of idiot are you to talk about lasers? I don't think I'm an idiot. I'm simply asking, you know, could we have burned a hole and caused this thing to rupture earlier on? Do we have the ability to have space weapons to take care of this type of stuff? But anyway, back to the state. The Pentagon started telling people not to start shooting at the balloon as it went over top of their neighborhoods. There were different places and states that were like, hey guys, whatever you do, do not fire your bullets into the air because it would be a danger to the people on the ground. Great advice. Hopefully we didn't need to tell people that. But unfortunately, about 90 seconds after they go up, they're going to come back down, or 20 seconds after they go up, they're going to come back down. So it will kill people down below. It's a very dangerous thing. That stated, to all those people that say, hey, I don't think that the Second Amendment gave you the right to bear arms if it's a bazooka, if it's a F-22, should you have rights to that? Should you have rights to all these things? You know what? This is one of those times where, yes, citizens should be able to have whatever they want to have because the evolution of war is changing, and as a result, the evolution of people must change as well. I think Paul Engel made a really good point during the Great Constitution debate a few weeks ago where he talked about we're trusted with 2,000-ton machines or 2,000-pound machines, two-ton machines at 80 miles per hour flying down the road without killing one another. We should be able to trust people with whatever they'd like to purchase, especially if our government is not going to do anything about it. So, we have the timeline. January 28th. Finally, February 4th, it's shot down. The information likely that China was trying to gather was massive. Massive. Because they were surprised by the time this thing hit Idaho. We should be looking at our neighbors to the north. Our neighbors to the north that may be working with China. So what do we know about that? Well, you have to go back to 2012 when militaries between China and Canada started a cooperation plan initiative, which helped them train together. Now, this was signed in Ottawa, August of 2013, the same time that President Xi came into power. And during that time, their military started training with Canadian soldiers. This continued for several years until 2020, when finally the report came out and the conservative leaderships finally started saying that it was a dangerous path for the Trudeau government to take and called Canada's dealings at the time with China a dangerously naive approach that has put Canada and our citizens at risk. At that point in time, Canada stopped their military exercises. They said they are no longer training with the Chinese military. That was 2020. So they may not be training anymore, but it sure as hell looks like this balloon came through Canada with absolutely no problem. With our officials being shocked that it came over into Idaho, it also seems like Canada's not talking to the United States. So if that's the case, can we trust our neighbors to the north? Be back with more great content tomorrow, kind of opening up this dialogue a little bit more. One thing's for certain that we, I think, can agree on. There was a decision to shoot this thing down. That is the right decision. It was just several days too late for the action. Hopefully we'll learn some information about the payload. I don't think that us as citizens are going to hear much, but I hope that our military learns everything that they need to do in order to hold China accountable in the future. We hopefully can get some people on here to talk about the dangers of China and the United States and military relations and what that really means for us moving forward into the future. Buckle up, everybody. be prepared. You know, have things at your home. Get your finances in order. It's going to be a weird several years, I believe. A very weird several years. And so my message on this show will likely be consistently, stay prepared. That's been all today, everybody. Hope I've honored your time well. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode. As always, you can join me on Twitter at RealGregBolden. Give me a follow over there or give me a shout. Something you don't like, just let me know. Happy to talk to you about. If you don't agree with something, that's all right. I reserve my ability to change my mind on something as I learn more information. Hope you all have a great rest of your day. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.